We appreciate you joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We always are grateful that you tune in, and we would like for you to come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come and worship, sing and pray, study God's Word together. All of our visitors are welcome at any of our services, 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Come join us. We would be glad to have you. And we simply worship God the way He wants New Testament Christians to worship Him. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And you might find that refreshing without all the man-made denominational rules and regulations and traditions. We simply follow the New Testament pattern of worship, and we'd be glad for you to come worship with us. Please take the time to stop by. You're welcome at any and every service. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 15, as we continue looking at great Bible stories, we want to look at a very pivotal point in the life of Saul, the first king of Israel, where God says to him, "I have rejected you from being king." You might recall last week we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 8, where Israel requested a king, and Saul was their first king. And this is not the lesson this morning, and chapter 15 is not the first time that Saul was disobedient and did that which he was not supposed to do. We find another example of that back in chapter 13 when he offered up a sacrifice that he was not supposed to do as king. And Samuel said there in chapter 13 and verse 13 that you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of Jehovah thy God, which he commanded thee. So what we're looking at this morning in chapter 15 is certainly not the first time, but it is the occasion in which God says, "I have rejected you." And from here to the end of the book, in 1 Samuel chapter 31, where Saul dies in battle with the Philistines, it is a downward spiral for Saul, the first king. He will gradually move out of the picture, and David will gradually rise to power and be the second king of Israel. So let's look at this chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and see if there are some lessons that we can learn today regarding obedience to God. Obedience to God is fundamental. And we'll close with some New Testament passages that teach us the importance of obeying God's Word. Do you obey God's Word each and every day? Can we help you to obey God's Word? That's fundamental. And we're going to see the importance of that in today's story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there. On one occasion, when Saul is king of Israel, he is given instructions through Samuel from God to go utterly destroy the Amalekites. And we're going to find that Saul is disobedient to that command. He does not fully obey that command, which is tantamount to disobedience. And we're going to see how that unfolds and see if there are some lessons that we can learn for our lives today. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1, we read, And Samuel said unto Saul, Jehovah sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel. And this goes back to Exodus 17, verses 8 and following, when they attacked Israel coming out of Egypt. I've marked that which Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. First thing that I'd like for us to consider this morning is that when God speaks, he's very clear in what he says. We can understand what God says. Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:17, be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we know what God's will is for our life today? Well, it's recorded on the pages of the New Testament scriptures, and we can understand that. We're going to see that Saul had no problem understanding these words. He didn't want to follow them, but he completely understood them. So, number one, when God speaks, we can understand him. Sometimes people say, well, you know, the Bible is too confusing and too hard, and we can't understand the Word of God, and we can't know it. Friend, that's just a lie. We can and must and should understand God's Word and will. Paul wouldn't say to understand the will of the Lord if it couldn't be understood. There are some things that are hard sometimes to understand, but with studying and maturing and learning more and putting the pieces of God's Word together, we can understand even those difficult passages. So first of all, we want to learn that we can understand the Word of God. Verse 4, and Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, as thou goest to Shur, that is before Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. So, there's a couple more lessons here that we can learn. First of all, God's word was very plain. Verse 3, utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But Saul chose to keep Agag and some other things, some animals. He took it upon himself to obey part of God's word, but not all of God's word. And number three, he set himself up as an arbiter to decide what part of God's word he's going to obey and what part he's not. I think we need to understand, friends, that when God tells us to do something, we need to do all of what he says to do. We can't pick and choose. We can't pick the part of it we like and disregard the part of it we don't like, or do what's convenient but don't do what's inconvenient. We don't go down through the New Testament. If this is something that God has wanted, God wants all of his family, all Christians to do, then we don't just simply go down through picking and choosing. There are things in the New Testament that are not for all Christians of all time. And the context bears that out. It might be something for the apostles only, or it might be something for New Testament Christians only. It might be something temporary in nature, like miraculous gifts or something. But when the context bears out that it is for all Christians of all time, we need to be doing that today. We need to be obeying that. And if it's something that all people need to do to become Christians, such as repenting of our sins and being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38, we can't just go down through the New Testament and pick and choose what parts of God's commands we want and what part we don't. We can't be that self-appointed arbiter of deciding what that's going to be. We just simply need to obey all that God says. So notice here that, and Saul's going to come back to this. He's going to say later in our story that, well, I did what you told me to do. He did partially, but not all. God is looking for total, complete obedience to his instructions. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And when we come up short of complete obedience, we're going to be rejected, just like Paul, just like Saul was, King Saul was here in this great account. Let's keep reading verse 10. Then came the word of Jehovah unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And Samuel was wroth, and he cried unto Jehovah all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a monument, and turned and passed on, and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what Jehovah hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Well, we learn another lesson, and that is that Saul was carrying about his regular business. He came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a monument and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. Maybe he did that after attacking the Amalekites. But he's carrying on his daily affairs as if he is fine. He believes he's okay. He hasn't obeyed God fully. And I think there are people like that today. They just get up each day. They feel like they're doing fine. They're going about their business and everything's fine, but they're disobeying God. They're not following the New Testament. They're not worshiping like they should. They're not reading their Bible and praying and living properly. They've not obeyed the gospel. They've not been baptized into Christ and other things that they need to be doing, remembering the Lord's death each first day of the week, each Sunday. There's a lot of folks that will not assemble with Christians to partake of the Lord's Supper and give of their contribution. Their Sunday is for them. Golf and boating and yard work and 100 other things. They're just going about their daily lives. Everything's fine. And so Saul, he was feeling fine. But Samuel came unto him and said, You're not doing right. It's a wake-up call for Saul. And we need that from time to time, even in our own lives. We need the voice of Samuel to come to us, if you will, and remind us of what God wants us to do. And notice in verse 13 that Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. So he wants to get it out right there in front that I'm okay with God. Don't worry, Samuel, I'm fine. I'm not sure why you're here and what you want to talk about, but let me just say up front that I'm fine with God. I've done everything he said. Then Samuel in verse 14 asks a rhetorical question. Well, then why is it that I hear the sheep making noise and the oxen making noise? Well, why is that? The original instruction back in verse 3 was to slay all of the men and women and children and the animals. But hey, Saul, I hear some animals. So you have not obeyed what God wanted you to do. Don't try to trick me or fool me or rationalize this away or justify yourself or explain it away. I hear noise of animals, and you were supposed to destroy the animals. So he's holding Saul accountable for his disobedience. And then immediately, Saul shifts the blame to the people in verse 15. They brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. we're going to see later that the end does not justify the means. They brought some animals back to sacrifice to God. So we're going to do something good, even though it's disobedience. Look at the good that it will accomplish. So God will overlook the disobedience. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Right now, what I want to talk about in verse 15 is that Saul is blaming the people. He's going to throw them under the bus, so to speak. When back in the text, Saul was a part of that. Saul was a part. Saul and the people spared Agag and these animals, verse 9. It kind of reminds me of Aaron and the golden calf in Exodus 32. He said, the people gave me all their jewelry and different things, and I threw it in the fire, and it came out a calf. I didn't have anything to do with that. And so when we're held accountable, all of a sudden we start making excuses for our disobedience, and we need to learn another lesson, and that is that that doesn't fly with God. That doesn't work. God didn't say through Samuel, oh, okay, I understand now, it was the people who did it, so you're fine. No. He holds Saul accountable for what he and the people had done. So notice that. And then Samuel is going to tell the Lord, going to tell Saul what the Lord said. Samuel's not going to give his opinion or what he thinks or feels about the matter. What's important is, what does God say? And for us today, friends, it's, what does the Scripture say? How do we determine obedience or disobedience? It's not determined by me. It's not determined by any other individual. We open up our Bibles and learn where we have obeyed or disobeyed. Samuel is going to tell Saul what the Lord says. And that's what's important. There's a lot of times you can find preachers, televangelists, radio preachers, TV preachers, others, who will say, oh, no, that's not disobedience. You can go ahead and do that. When in fact it is. Telling us we can do things that we're not supposed to do. Telling us not to do things that we're supposed to do. Get God's word on the matter, friends, not what man says. And Saul is about to get God's word. Let's start reading again in verse 17. And Samuel said, though thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Jehovah anointed thee king over Israel. Talking about his great privilege and his great responsibility. He should have acted on par with his privilege and responsibility. Verse 18, and Jehovah sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. And that's gives reason for why this command was given. They're being punished for their sin. And fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Jehovah, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah, and have gone the way which Jehovah sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the devoted things, to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This is a serious matter, and no doubt a great shock to Saul, as we'll find out in just a minute in verse 24. Notice how Saul falls back on his excuse that he had made earlier in verse 15. The people, what the people have done, I obeyed God, verse 20, but the people took, and so forth. Falling back on that excuse and blaming them. And notice that he had the attitude in verse 20, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah. He thought that partial obedience is complete obedience, and it's not. And I think some people believe that today. Well, I'll just do some of the things that God wants me to do in my life. From time to time, I might pray or I might read my Bible. I'm not going to be baptized. I'm not going to be a member of a local church and worship each first day of the week, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. I'm not going to give of my money to the Lord, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. I'm not going to do any of that. Definitely not going to go to church anywhere. But I'll think about God from time to time, and I'll be nice to my neighbor, and I'll drive the speed limit, and, you know, I'll do some things that God wants me to do. Now, I'm not going to do it all, but partial obedience is fine with God. We learn here, friends, it is not. So we need to do all that God has said, not just partial obedience. And we need to quit blaming others for our wrongdoing, our sin, our disobedience. Quit blaming the people. You know, my wife, my husband, my kids, the boss, the neighbor, my second cousin, whatever. Let's just obey. God does not accept partial obedience, and God does not accept excuse making. If we learn anything from this, we learn that. And then notice also that this idea of Saul had this attitude of, well, the end justifies the means. The end is we'll offer up a sacrifice to God, and so that justifies bringing some of the animals back. No, it doesn't. And Samuel makes that very clear. The Lord has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah. It's a rhetorical question. To get Saul to think. God wants obedience, not your sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Just obey me. And that meant utterly destroying all the people and all of the animals. But people today have this end justifies the means approach to life. Well, it's okay to disobey as long as I'm trying to do something good with it. No, it's not. Verse 23, Saul was being rebellious. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry. Somebody might say, well, I would never engage in idolatry or witchcraft. Rebellion and stubbornness is just as bad as those things. Because you have rejected the word of Jehovah by partially obeying, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Sometimes people think that disobedience, it's not disobedience if we partially obey. It is disobedience. There's some great lessons here on following God's instructions, just simple basic lessons. When God gives us an instruction, just to follow it the way he wants it followed. Great story and an account to teach us these basic things. And like I said earlier, it becomes the pivotal passage where from here we see the slow downfall and degradation of Saul. And he just gets worse and worse as time goes on. Verse 24. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. And that was true. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of Jehovah and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship Jehovah. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, and Jehovah hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, Saul laid hold upon the skirt of his robe and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, Jehovah hath rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you. The kingdom eventually will go to David. And also, the strength of Israel, that's God, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. This is what he has said, and this is what is going to happen. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship Jehovah thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped Jehovah. I have sinned. He was humble enough to admit it finally after Samuel preached to him. He wouldn't accept it at the beginning. He offered up the excuses and so forth. And he finally admits that he's done wrong, but God is not going to change his mind with regard to the consequences of his sin. We can be forgiven of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ if we'll obey the gospel, if we'll be baptized and wash away those sins, but sometimes our sins still have consequences that are going to take place. God's not going to change his mind with regard to removing Saul as king. Notice also, it's interesting that Saul makes the point in verse 24, I did this because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. We don't know how much discussion was going on between Saul and the people when they were keeping some of the animals. But there's a lesson to be made here, and we don't need to listen to what people around us are saying. We don't need to fear them. We need to fear God and respect God's word. We don't need to cave into peer pressure and what the people want. We need to be concerned about what God wants. That's all that matters. So let's be pleasing to him and do his word and his will. Don't be bothered by what people around you say or think or feel. And then verse 32, Samuel said, bring here Agag, king of the Amalekites. And Agag came cheerfully. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Well, he was wrong about that. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Jehovah in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. For Samuel mourned for Saul, and Jehovah repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is upon him. We have to obey Jesus Christ today. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2 and verse 8 that those who do not obey the truth will receive indignation and wrath and God's eternal destruction. And so we must obey, friends. Can we help you to obey the word of God and not be like Saul? We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. We hope that you'll have a good day, and we hope that you'll tune in next week. Thank you for being with us.